I'm Kristen McFarland, and this is Market Like a Badass. I'm the founder and CEO of the Source Marketing Group, a marketing technology company in Denver, Colorado, focused on highly regulated markets like cannabis and craft beer. I'm excited to bring you another episode of marketing content with actionable tips and tricks for business owners and marketing leaders. The theme this season is increasing revenue with multi-channel marketing. So you'll hear a combination of digital marketing and event tips throughout the customer journey. This season is brought to you by the Source Marketing Group and our media sponsor, Strike Visuals. Today, we're going to hear from special guest Ardell Romez, Chief of Staff at Old Pal. His team is leading the cannabis industry with their Asset Light cannabis brand. Want to make a lasting impression at your next event? Check out Strike Visuals, our favorite partner for custom displays for outdoor and indoor events. They offer the lightest, most durable custom pop-up tents in the industry, as well as flags, backdrops, table covers, and sampling counters, all backed by a lifetime warranty. Strike offers free design services, discounted event packages, and unmatched customer service. Strike now and get noticed. Visit strikenow.com to get started today. Welcome, Ardell.
Happy to be here. How's it going?
Hey, I am doing well, and I'm super excited to have you and Old Pal on the podcast and to learn more. But tell our audience a little bit more about you and what you do.
Yeah, so I'm Ardell Romez, the Chief of Staff at Old Pal. Been with Old Pal 5 years, which is so crazy in my head. Came here about 5 months into the business. So the business started like May 2018. I came on January 2019 and have kind of been here since the beginning through all the iterations of the business. We joke that we're like in the third iteration of our business. My background is from politics. I did a lot of stuff in the state of Illinois on the policy side, policy and budget side, during a really interesting time when the former governor, Bruce Rauner, was the governor and admittedly got a little burnt out on the political side of things and really wanted to get back to California. And I got an amazing opportunity to be one of the early employees at Old Pal and haven't looked back since.
That's amazing. And I think it speaks volumes that you've been there for 5 years. It speaks to the culture and the brand that you all are building. And before we dive into more about the brand and all of the great things that we're going to talk about, I want to ask the most important question today, which is, what are you grateful for?
Honestly, I'm grateful for life. I generally am someone who like really loves life. It's like the little things in life where you meet someone random, you strike up a great conversation, or, you know, I fly a lot for work. I'm always on an airplane. And like the little small moments in life where you're just like, I was in Pittsburgh and I was looking at the yellow bridges, listening to Mac Miller.
Yes.
Right. That was just like life. So yeah, I'm just grateful for life. Life has been good to me. And I'm just happy to be healthy and strong and financially secure. Like life is good.
That is amazing. And I wish everyone could see the Mac poster that I have back here because it's sick. But yeah, that's amazing. And it is the little things, you know, the little moments that remind us to be human. So, and I'm grateful to have you on. So really excited to talk more about Old Pal and more about the brand because you guys have it really dialed in. And I want to talk about how to successfully scale a cannabis brand. You know, people talk about you on LinkedIn all the time bragging about, oh my gosh, this is an asset light brand. But what does that mean? And how does that really help you in an emerging market like cannabis?
Yeah. So, I mean, number one, being asset light, we don't own any licenses. You know, we are a white label company by the definition. I think, you know, what's been really interesting and how we've been able to scale is, you know, there's three. Number one, you got to have a great team. I think Rusty, our CEO, and Jason, our other co-founder, have done an incredible job of having, in my opinion, the best in-house team in cannabis. You know, we only have 15 full-time employees, but we have another like 500 to 700 people who work on behalf of the brand in other instances, you know, with our state partners on the cultivation side and the manufacturing side and the field, all under the sun. But we have the best in-class team. So I think that's where it starts. Number one is having a team you can trust and you know can execute. And I think, you know, also it makes it easier to scale because not having any licenses, we're not having to do $3-5 million build outs. We're able to partner with best in state. Every single state, there's a different partner. There's a couple of states where the states overlap, but you have great in-state partners who can execute in terms of cultivating the flower, manufacturing the product, delivery, and doing sales in certain instances. And it keeps us to just worry about the branding, the packaging, the marketing, the field marketing to help really sell through. And that's where our value comes in. You know, we have a great design team. Props, shout out to LAN for obviously creating the brand and really just like keeping it simple. I think, you know, too many times people try to complicate this. It's really not that complicated, but if you don't have good people working with you, it does become very complicated. So I think number one is just having an incredible team, which we really do.
Yes, it comes down to your people, process, and technology. And that's going to be the key to success for any brand that's trying to scale. And I'm glad you touched on that because it is really important. And, you know, you all are a Cali-based brand, right?
I like to say that we're not. Yes, we are Cali-based. Like the nuts and bolts operationally of Opal is California for sure. But we're a national brand at this point.
Yeah.
You know, we're in majority of the states that I'm visiting that we're in are east of Mississippi at this point. So yes, based in California, but you know, when I'm visiting these markets, like I was in Michigan and New York the last couple of weeks, we just launched in Michigan, relaunched in Michigan, actually, I should say. And yeah, I don't like to always lead that, oh, we're a California brand, because one thing I do love about cannabis is people really hold their states dear to them where they grow their weed. They're like, no, I'm from Michigan. Like this is Michigan weed. So we like to come authentic. It's very important that when you're partnering with these folks, that you're partnering with people who are authentic on the ground. Because then you're, you know, there's a lot of brands that just come in, they don't do the work. It's like, yes, we are California based, started in California, but we're authentic to every single state that we operate in.
Yes. And we talked a little bit about that in our last conversation. You talked about maybe going in and hiring strategically to really build an authentic brand in each market. So what's the key to doing that? And how many states are you all in right now?
Let's do the count. So California, Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, Missouri, Illinois, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Massachusetts, New York, soon to be Vermont, soon to be Washington. Oh, I'm missing Maryland as well. We're in Maryland.
Woo, shout out to Maryland.
Soon to be Virginia.
Wow, amazing.
I'm probably missing a couple. I feel like I'm not, but maybe I am. But yeah, by the beginning of Q3, we'll be in 20 states, I would say.
Wow.
The way things are going and the conversations we're having and the deals that we're getting signed. Yeah, realistically, there's probably going to be 20 states, which is, you know, Rusty and our CEO, we always joke like, oh, you know, we have more and more states than we have full-time employees, which is kind of true. It is true.
Wow, that's amazing.
But yeah, it's been a fun ride and really being able to see some of these emerging markets that I would have never thought. Oh, Oklahoma is another state. Forgot about Oklahoma we're in. The goal is to be in all 50 states one day is the ultimate goal. You know, we always joke that our goal is to be, you know, the PBR, the Bud Light of cannabis. Accessible, affordable to all, consistent. You know what you're getting. You can share it with the homies. I mean, it's not breaking the bank. And yeah, that's kind of how we've tried to position ourselves.
And you have to protect your brand fiercely, I imagine, because there is a lot of competition. And again, I think you probably lean it on those local representation to really provide that and to be the boots on the ground that really have that community in place, that way you can lead from a place of authenticity and really understand what's going on and the nuances within each region, I imagine.
Yeah, no, it's the most crucial part of our business are those boots on the ground. In certain markets, we do have like full-time people. Essentially, once a state has to meet a certain dollar per month in revenue for us to put someone full-time on the ground, but we have no problem putting someone part-time on the ground. And the reason that's so important is your brand coming off as authentic matters more than anything and having someone who's authentic to that area. For example, in New York City, we finally just hired a new brand ambassador. He's from Long Island. I hired him because he has a New York accent, but I'd be lying if I said it didn't help that he's authentic. He can speak to some of these folks that me, the California guy, can't speak to it in the same way. And he also just understands the neighborhoods and things of that nature.
Right. Yeah.
It goes such a long way. In Massachusetts, our lead field marketing manager there, he lives in Worcester, has that Boston accent. He can speak to it. Like, I really do think that if you can come authentic and have people who not only like believe in the brand who are working for you, but can speak to in an authentic way for their various state is extremely important. Because if not, then the consumers, that's really I'll give cannabis consumers credit for. They're not stupid and they'll hold you accountable for your actions. So if you don't come in authentic, they'll just give you a big screw you and keep it pushing.
True. Yeah, there's a lot of competition out there. And so it is easy to do that. And yeah, you got to be able to walk a tight line.
100%.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, and especially about the authenticity piece. And I think I preach that all the time in a webinar a couple of weeks ago, of just being authentic to you and your brand, because it's the most important and it's going to help you stand out. And that's part of your differentiation, your X factor. And that's what makes you different. Mm-hmm. And now I'm curious about, you know, you mentioned going into different markets and I know you're signing a lot of deals, and I'm curious, you know, share the importance of building a partner ecosystem, especially for an emerging brand.
Yeah, I will say, you know, in the beginning, when we were kind of just starting to enter into different states, I would say that we, you know, sometimes might have just like looked at us, oh, we can get to this state, let's get there as soon as possible. Thankfully, in the last 5 years, we've learned a lot in terms of good partners, bad partners, what to look out for, what can be, you know, a red flag, what can be a green flag. And I think what's interesting now is, you know, we're able to kind of turn away people who we don't want to work with anymore, opposed to us searching them out. So that's been really unique, is because we have such a strong brand and a strong brand presence. And, you know, at the end of the day, your reputation goes a long way. And I'll keep speaking to, you know, Rusty, our CEO, co-founder. He just is a good human. And a lot of the reasons we're able to get a lot of these deals done, because he's just a good dude and he's genuine and he's not going to fuck you over. And it's just that simple. And unfortunately, in cannabis, there's a lot of people who just aren't who they say they are. So I would say, you know, when we go into every state, we're looking to do the deals with, you know, these various states. Number one, we need to see, how is their team? Can their team work with our team? You know, if you're going to have a deal with us in whatever state it is, we have a stand-up weekly ops and marketing call, right? That's weekly. We need to be prepared. You need to be able to have deadlines. How does your team work? Can we have synergy together? When we send our product team out there to build the product, how is their team on the production floor? When they send me out to meet with their salespeople, their field marketing people, like, what's that synergy look like? So I think it's a, you know, a variety of all those things that we're looking for, on top of obviously the flower quality and all that good stuff.
Yeah. And the synergy is so important.
Yeah. I would say arguably the most important part is the work. How can our teams work together? Because I can tell you, there's been partners who we don't work with anymore. We're like, clearly like the synergy was not there. And we have teams that we work with. It's like, wow, like, it's like we're the same team, we're the same company. So I think that's just like something that's extremely important as you go into some of these state deals.
Yeah, I think wherever you're at in the supply chain, this is important in cannabis. Build out your partner ecosystem and be strategic with who you align with, right? Because to your point, there's good and bad actors, and there's people that are going to either pull you back or propel you forward. But building that, you know, partner network strategically is going to make or break your brand. And now we've talked about the brand a lot, and I always preach, you know, you have to dial in your brand first, then your website, then your marketing. So we're going to talk about another topic, which is which marketing channels are successful for scaling a business. One of your team members I had talked to, shout out to Kat, she had mentioned leveraging field events to expand the market in Chicago. And I want to hear, how have field marketing activations helped your business growth and revenue goals?
Yeah, I mean, so number one, just like being in the field, activating goes such a long way with the consumer. You know, we try to do things that are just like interactive and fun and kind of speaks to the brand. So, you know, we'll do how to roll a joint stations.
Oh, nice. Yes.
You'll be surprised how many people don't know how to roll a joint. We'll do a how to make an apple pie. That's actually like the one that always cracks me up, because it's so simple and so nostalgic, but people making an apple pie is the one thing that people will eat up. There'll be a line out the door just waiting to make an apple pie. So really, it's just like doing things that are fun and interactive that can bring people together in a, like in a very nonchalant way. There's a place in Winthrop, Illinois that we did a couple weeks ago, or maybe like a month ago, called Dispensary 33. And we literally, it's like on the border of Wisconsin, Illinois. So you get a lot of people who come across the border. It's also a very like old town. So like on Wednesdays, all the people like 65 plus come and just hang out and smoke weed. So we're like, well, why don't we just do like a rolling station with, if you've seen our Ready to Roll, it's a very like nostalgic product. And these folks were just having the time of their life rolling joints, listening to music.
I love that.
So yeah, no, it's just a way to bring consumers around the product in a way that doesn't feel forced. And it's just like fun and hanging out with your buds. Is the best way to explain that. And again, the ROI I usually see on that is they're now getting to try free product.
Yep.
On one hand. On two, they're getting to see and meet people behind the brand. So building a connection with that. And then ideally that turns into a sale. Next time they're in the store, they see the product. Like, oh, I remember when I did the rolling station there. That Ready to Roll product is so cool.
Yes.
So it's kind of a like three-pronged system. that you're able to touch all those bases, but eventually leading to sell through, because that's how you can get the budget to do these things.
That's right. Well, and it's authentic to you and your brand. Like you said, it's hanging out with your old pal, you're rolling J's, listening to music, just like we were born to do, you know?
100%, 100%.
And I think that's huge. And it does build brand affinity, right? When people do local activations here in Colorado, it's the same thing. I want to see people that are engaged in the community and activating around Pride events and, you know, handing out pins like your love is my drug, you know, and promoting their edibles. And it's just really interesting to see different brands, you know, activating in that type of way. What do you think has been the most successful? Is it just the laid back joint rolling activations or in store? What's really helped propel you all forward?
I think it really varies market to market.
Yeah, so true.
For example, in California, we do something really cool that they're actually going to be doing it in New York coming up next month, which I'm really excited about. But it's a really cool group called The Record Club. And Grandmaster Records, downtown LA, like the first floor is this like beautiful, used to be a studio, but now they turn into like a bar, soundproof, beautiful room where the guy who runs it chooses a record from yesteryear. And people literally sit there for 2 hours and listen to the record start to finish. And the guy, after every song, tells you about the record. Well, he was looking for a flower sponsor because obviously weed and music go so incredibly together. So we come in, we provide pre-rolls. People are able to smoke before and after the event. And one, they're getting a touch point with the brand. Two, music and weed are something that's important to us as a brand. And three, they're now able to connect with both. And we're not even like the lead sponsor on that. We're kind of just taking a step back. We're just saying this is just a, call it a music enhancer. You know, we're supporting the homie Free, but like we also would love to provide you with some flower. And there's a dispensary, MMD, right across the street. So if you do like this, you can go buy it across the street.
Wow. That's amazing. And the opportunity to send traffic over to a partner as well. And I think that's like such an important thing. We were just talking about this in markets like New York, where you're competing with the illicit market. And then you have, you know, it's just hard, you know, how can brands and legal operators come together to co-promote and do really cool activations like that for the community? Because that's going to help you stand out. It's going to help get that foot traffic coming back and make someone come to you over the 15 other illicit shops.
100%.
Yeah. What do you think are other opportunities in markets like New York where brands and dispensaries can collaborate?
Yeah. So there's a few different ways. One, we actually are doing the Record Club in New York. Super excited for that.
Oh, good.
In April.
Oh, so it's like a road show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, New York and LA, obviously being such music hubs and people in the industry, it just makes the synergy makes a lot of sense.
For sure.
So obviously that's one way. I think New York is something we're still even figuring out what works and what doesn't work. Like I said, we just hired someone on the ground as of like last week. I was training him in New York last week. So I think it's kind of figuring things out. We're participating in Mary Fest on 420.
Oh, nice.
Which is going to be a cool event. So I think it's still kind of finding our footing there. Because again, like I said, every market is just so different in what you can do. In Pennsylvania, for example, you aren't allowed to activate on-site. You have to activate off-site.
What?
So that adds a whole new element. And then obviously during the wintertime, you can't really do anything because no one wants to be off-site in the cold.
No.
So again, there's just various laws and regulations that just make it really freaking complex. I think Arizona is actually probably the easiest place to do anything in terms of like activations. We've actually had a lot of success in Arizona activating, doing things specifically for like, you know, we launched our Primo blend, which is our infused ground flower that comes in 7 gram with the rolling papers. With one of our really important stores there called Nirvana, we did a whole tasting for their whole team. They have like 10 or some odd stores. So all their butt tenders came out. We provided unlimited flour. We had Chiba Hut sandwiches and they got to get free product. So, you know, there's a lot of ways, but obviously like speaking to the butt tenders specifically, they're the most important aspect of sell through in this business. Too many times people, you know, in my position or higher, you know, I'm not gonna say we, but they tend to only be working with the buyer, the inventory manager, CMO, CEOs, X, Y, and Z. When like at the end of the day, the butt tenders who unfortunately are probably the worst treated people in the industry make the least amount of money. But if they really ride for your brand and you show them that love, they'll make sure that people are buying your product. So we always say internally on our marketing team is like, you want to be the butt tender's best friend. And it's so true. So like right now in New York, they're doing a butt tender education at Housing Works right now. in Union Square. We're making sure we show up, you know, with some pizzas, some swag, some samples, so they feel that much better and they can speak to the brand. Because a lot of times brands will sell in and you won't hear from them for 6 months. And then they're like, oh, why isn't my product selling? Well, you didn't do anything to help sell through. So being in front of budtenders, I cannot stress it enough. It's so freaking important. My whole field team, I stress it. Take care of them. If you take care of them, they'll take care of you.
Yeah. And it's something that's been repeated by other successful brands, right? Like in-store demos, budtender education. So if you're listening, like these are common themes from successful brands saying this is what you need to do. So this is important stuff. And yeah, I appreciate you sharing that. And what are some of the top marketing channels for Old Pal? Are you guys doing in-store demos and collecting emails and doing remarketing? Like, what does that look like in terms of success?
So yeah, I mean, in-store pop-ups, obviously we do, everybody does it. Whether it works sometimes is a big question mark. I can't definitively tell you like, oh my God, pop-ups gonna help sell through. But where pop-ups do help is if you have it tied to some type of promotion. So that's when it helps. If you're there for those 3 hours or you're one of your brand ambassadors are there and it's buy an eighth of Old Pal, get a 2-pack joint for free, then guess what? Because you're there, you're probably going to see sell through. So I think it has to be tied to some type of promotion or else it's just not going to be successful.
I agree.
Just having a pop-up when you're just there, it's just attraction. Again, consumers, everyone can put a table up and just sit there and talk about a brand. So finding those little like small touch points where you can see more sell through, again, whether that's through a promo, whether that's through a BOGO, there's ways to do that. But I would say, I'm not going to say that pop-ups are the greatest thing that work in cannabis. I think it works in some places. Like in New York, you're not going to really do them. You're not doing pop-ups, right?
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. But in Arizona, you better be doing pop-ups. So it's almost like a requirement, I would say, from retailers, which is great because I do think it does help sell through. But in New York, it's just like people are on the go. They're not going to sit there and talk to you about it. You know what I mean? So it's very much market to market.
Yeah, market nuances there. And what about for marketing channels for smaller brands, right, who are just starting out in terms of like what's cost effective for marketing?
Yeah, I mean, so number one, cannabis, unfortunately, because of regulations, we have to be extremely careful in how we go about marketing things on the digital side of things. Obviously, email is your best way in terms of not having any regulation. You can put anything in the emails. You can lead people to sales. Obviously, you need to build up those email lists, which is why, you know, all of our pop-ups, every event, we're making sure that we're getting emails. And then when we're partnering with our new state partners, we're able to tap into their email list and vice versa. So, you know, only adds a larger element, which is always hilarious to me. I think about from my campaign life previously, how important like emails were. That's why if you got like, you know, the promotion or you got the endorsement from like your local Democratic County party, then like you're getting thousands of more emails that you can reach out to fundraise from. So emails is obviously like the easiest way. There's creative. Instagram is still a great tool. You just have to be extremely freaking creative on how you go about it. Because anything that entices a sale, Instagram will shut it down. We've been shadow banned multiple times.
Me too.
So Instagram is dicey. You just have to, it's hard. I'm not going to lie. But if you do it the right way, you can really help grow. You know, we have a pretty good following on Instagram. I think LinkedIn has become, honestly, the best, I don't want to say marketing specific channel, but it's just become an unbelievable channel for cannabis because they don't really censor anything cannabis-wise there. I mean, you got dudes who are saying, you know, I got 10 pounds of material. Who needs it? DM me, right?
Yep. Like, I love it. It's like the cannabis water cooler.
Yeah, literally. So, you know, LinkedIn is a place where you can, you know, in terms of like launching new states, launching new products, it's a great way to reach the people. Obviously, it doesn't have the same reach as an Instagram. You know, Meta has made it a bit difficult. We don't really use X, honestly. I don't know, the reach isn't there. Cannabis people aren't really doing much there. But yeah, I would say definitely email is your best way to go just because there's no, you know, regulation really around it. But again, you're also relying on open rates and things of that nature. And let's be honest, we all get tons of emails that we unsubscribe from all the time. So you have to also make sure that it looks cool. What's that one thing that's going to make someone want to open it? So on and so on.
Yeah. And make it relevant.
Exactly. And you can target it. We try to target like various places. So it's like if, for example, in Michigan, we just launched with 3 SKUs, the infused blunt, a 14 gram ready to roll, and a 7 gram infused ready to roll. So we email blasted the whole state of Michigan, right? That geo-targeted that area. And then a couple of the border states or border cities within Michigan. So that was one way to help entice things, you know what I mean, is the geo-targeting of email blasts. But again, I think what irks me sometimes is when you see these massive CPG companies and like you see their marketing teams and they have these massive budgets and they don't really have any real laws. They can do whatever they want. It's like, I dream of a world where it's like, yeah, go run with it. There's nothing, you can do whatever you want. You can build this beautiful Instagram campaign and not have to think, oh my God, I have to take that out because that's going to get me shadow banned. So
yep.
I'm cautiously optimistic on the future there.
Yeah. And it's why we're talking about multi-channel marketing this season and not omni-channel marketing, because you can't truly do omni-channel marketing in cannabis and craft beer right now. So that's just the way it is.
100%.
So yeah, we're going to make the best of it. And you know, you guys have been making a lot of badass campaigns. What's your favorite marketing campaign that you all have ran?
Man, I think, I remember you asked me this when we chatted last time, and I always go back and forth. But I think when I look at my personal favorite, probably be Music and Mary Jane, which was a really cool campaign we did with a group called Plant Wave.
Oh,
where
yeah.
Essentially they, I don't know the proper terminology, but they put wires on plants. It could be any plant, but we did it at our old cultivation partner in California. We put it on multiple cannabis plants, indica, hybrid, sativa plants, various strains, and literally music was made. So we did like a whole like little like 6-thing album we put on YouTube. We won 3 Clio Awards for it. And it was one of those things where like when it was first pitched, we all were like kind of like, the fuck? Like, I sure, if you want to, I guess. Like,
yeah, you're like, how high were you when you thought of this idea?
And you do listen to it. I do highly suggest getting high because it's extremely trippy.
Nice.
But it's just cool to like bring nature and technology together and see that transpire through sound. And then along with that, we did a grow your own plant. So it was essentially an autoflower plant, sowed at about 6 to 7 weeks old. All you had to do was give water and sun. And our whole thing was like, we try to lean more into Earth Day instead of 420, because 420 in my eyes is kind of like Black Friday, extremely consumerism.
Oh yeah.
And like, yes, it's an important holiday. Obviously we'll make sure that, you know, we're running promos, all that kind of stuff. But in terms of like activations, we lean into Earth Day always, because at the end of the day, we work for a plant and this plant has so many nutrients, so many sources of good things that it comes from, not just like getting high. So we try to lean more into that. And when we did the Grow Your Own campaign, we did it 2 years in a row in 2020 and 2021. It was more just around like giving people the opportunity to kind of be with the plant on their own. And there's something about growing your own that's like really fruitful. Mine's came out extremely bad. Still smoked it. I didn't necessarily enjoy the smoke, but it's still cool knowing it was like, I made something that I gave sun and water.
Yes, I did that.
Exactly. I'm still going to buy weed from the store because I realized that is not my cup of tea.
Yeah. Shout out to the cultivators listening.
Yeah, shout out to the cultivators. Leave that to the experts. But yeah, I would say those two campaigns specifically are the ones that like really come to mind in terms of like, I was like, wow, that was really cool. And when it was first pitched, I don't think I was like, I'm not saying I wasn't on board, but I wasn't like, oh, this is going to be a home run. And then to see those 3 Clio Awards come from
wow,
the Plant Wave campaign, I think only just like, you know, prove that concept.
Yeah, it's just a groovy, cool campaign. Like, I want to listen. I want to know, what are my plants saying to me?
Right.
And I play guitar. Let's go, planties.
Yeah. Hey, you can get a little plant and guitar recording little album for you.
I'm saying market like a badass album coming soon. Now, before we wrap up and move into the lightning round, I have another question. It's really around email list growth, because I feel like everyone I talk to, you know, who's new to us, they're banging their heads on a wall going, hey, Kristen, we're struggling. How do I grow my list? You know, I really need help. And you mentioned email being successful. It's a cost-effective platform as well. But how have you all grown your list? Is it at events, or, you know, what's really helped you all grow? And that way you can have those customers to monetize the data and remarket to those customers.
Yeah. I mean, so obviously, yes, events, getting email lists. But I think most important is just time. We've been a brand for 5 years. We have been, are in multiple states. So you're just, it's going to happen very organically, to be completely honest. And if you want to know about the brand, you have to get on the email list. So I think it's a mixture of those, but really just time. I don't think you're going to just like snap your fingers and all of a sudden have, you know, 50,000 subscriber email list. That just isn't going to happen. So it's really just the time, making sure that anytime you're activating in the field, whether it be a pop-up, an event, just getting emails. Is, you know, have a little QR code, or if you want to, you know, a lot of people, which they like to do, you know, if you want a piece of swag, you have to sign up for the email list or follow the brand, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Make them follow you or sign up for the list or something.
Yeah. Right? 100%. I had a guy on at NECAN who, like, he's like, hey, you got an Instagram? And what I always do whenever I do that, I always make them follow Opal first before they follow my personal Instagram. And he literally was like, unfollowed it. I was like, what's up? Like, that's odd. He's like, oh, I don't follow any brands. I'm like, okay, that's odd. It was just weird to me. I was like, okay, like, and you can follow me, I guess, but I'd rather you follow Opal. You know what I mean? It was a very odd interaction. I was just like, I didn't even know how to act. He's like, yeah, I just don't follow brands. I was like, okay, bud, if you say so.
Yeah, it's a battle of brands versus personal brand.
Yeah, clearly.
And yeah, that's an interesting conversation as well, you know, and I could probably have another episode on that one. So we won't veer off too far. I want to move into the lightning round. And you've got 5 questions and 10 seconds to answer each one.
I'm long-winded, so let's get it in.
Uh-oh. All right, you ready?
Let's get it.
What's your favorite genre of music to listen to while you're high?
Jesus Christ. Smooth jazz. Boney James and Rick Brown specifically.
Oh, nice. Love that shout out. What game show do you think you could win?
Probably like The Bachelor or something, if you want to consider that a game show.
Nice. Oh, my God. I love this. Yes. Ardell will be handing out his roses. Yes. What is the best piece of advice that you've gotten in business?
Someone's always watching.
Oh, God. Amen. What's a cause or purpose you deeply believe in?
A cause or something like deeply? Wow. Democracy. I feel like democracy is on the fucking line. And if I'm being completely honest, that's what it, like, I believe as Americans, that's something that separates us. So yeah, democracy. And democracy is under attack right now. So I will say democracy.
Yeah, I absolutely support that as well and agree with that. What's your favorite part of working in cannabis?
The people. It's an industry where it's extremely progressive. People really are in it for a various of reasons, some personal and all things under the sun, but I just love the people. It's just always great energy. You're always meeting people from different walks of life. So yeah, I just really love the cannabis community. It's just a very happy community.
Yes, I do. I love the cannabis industry and the community that I've been able to meet. It's just unlike anything else. And to feel completely at home and like you can show up authentically, there's just no better feeling than that. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking time to come on and share some tips and tricks for building a badass brand. And for those listening, if you need quick links, check out our Market Like a Badass show notes with links to social handles and the website. But in your own words, Ardell, please tell our audience where they can find you and Old Pal.
So Old Pal, you can find us on Instagram at Old Pal, OLDPAL. Also on LinkedIn under just Old Pal. Me on Instagram is Ardell, ARDELL4. I do have a private Instagram. Maybe I'll make it public one day. Who knows? And then Ardell Romez on LinkedIn is the best way to find me.
Nice. Thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on. I'll drop this info in the show notes so our listeners can find you. Follow us on Apple or Spotify or go to marketlikeabadass.media for the latest episodes of Market Like a Badass.